because I had to walk a long way to get to that bridge with the traffic noise all around me.
At 16, Emma says she wasn't coping with the after effects of being raped 4 years earlier.
Constantly having flashbacks back to what happened, not being able to go out socially and be okay with my friends and boys, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I literally just had enough. I broke both my back and my feet, and I survived, which I thought I wouldn't do.
Emma's physical injuries took months to heal. She's 18 now, though, and her mental health recovery is ongoing.
I spent ages just trying to come to terms with the fact that it didn't work.
It sounds to me like, even at that point, you were plotting strategies to have another go at killing yourself.
Yeah, I was dead set that I wasn't sticking around on this planet, yeah. That's when I got referred to the Riverside Unit.
Bristol's Riverside Unit, specifically for 13 to 18-year-olds with severe mental health problems like eating disorders, psychosis, or Emma's post-traumatic stress disorder. For over a year, she was here as both an inpatient and as someone who came each day for treatment. Now she's back, talking us through a typical day.
We would go down to start of day, which is held in the dining room. We, as a group, talk about how our evenings were, how we felt during them and how we're feeling this morning. Just sort of touch base with both the staff and the other young people. After start of day, we would have dance movement. It's a great way to sort of release all the anger or sadness or any of the feelings that you've got. Chucking balls everywhere or playing musical statues. That's literally what dance therapy is about. It's so versatile, you can do whatever you want.
A lot of it is about connecting the mind and the body together.
Dance movement psychotherapist Battelle Megan, who's running this session.
So it's finding what the body wants to say and finding how the mind would support that, or what the mind wants to say and how the body will, you know, it's sort of finding that and then let it come out.
There's not really many spaces where you can go and shout at the top of your voice and throw stuff against a wall, and it's just a space where you can do that and have a go, and it is really helpful.
Like, my mum's bought me one of those big yoga balls, so I can do it in one of the rooms in my house. It's really good.
I'm quite a quiet person and keep myself to myself, but when I feel really stressed at home, we might go outside with a football and just smash it against the wall and like shout loads of things.
Teachers at the unit help people keep up with school and college work. The area we're passing through now has a TV, a pool table and sofas. It's for chilling out in the evenings and coffee breaks between sessions.
So, it says family therapy suite on the door. I can kind of see from looking at your face that you've walked in and all sorts of memories have flashed through your mind.
Yeah, family therapy wasn't one of my favourite things about the Riverside. Having to sit in a room with your parents and a therapist and talk about how things are for you. That's something that I personally really struggled with.
Do you get on with your parents?
Yeah. Yeah, we do get on. But things like talking in family therapy had just made me realise quite how much it affected them. And
what insight do you have into what it feels like to be the mum or dad or brother or sister of somebody who jumped off a bridge to kill themselves?
I got to hear in this very room my mum and dad's experiences. It was difficult for me to hear those things and see how it was for everyone else, but they're things that need to be shared, and this was a safe environment for them to be done.
Tough, though.
Yeah, very tough. I dreaded the family therapy, I must say, because it was really, really hard. Yeah.
There's one last room that Emma wants to show us, and inside, someone she wants us to meet.
Hello.
Hi, Caroline.
Nice to see you. How's things?
Yeah. Consultant clinical psychologist Caroline Mercier, who was in charge of Emma's care at Riverside.
So much has been discussed in this room, and I think one of my biggest memories was sitting here with a big piece of paper on the floor, going over what is the meaning of life, I think.
You're working with young people where, you know, there is actually a lot of potential and a lot of hope, even if they don't realise it. So it's about helping them see that, really, letting them find their own way and their own reasons to stay on the planet.
I just found how I can actually be okay with what I am and what's happened to me. I think Caroline made that all possible and made me be able to be okay with life, really.
It's the person who does the work and I'm there to guide and support, really. I mean, I sort of use the metaphor of mountaineering, really. I mean, you know, you might be showing them the way and helping them and stopping them fall down the abyss again. But, you know, they're climbing, they're doing it, and they get to where they need to go.
Emma's time at Riverside was far from easy. Even while she was here, she made a second attempt to kill herself. Now, though, she says she's looking forward to a positive future.
Talking with my team, talking with Caroline, it all just gradually came together. It all just started being okay.
Sounds like you've been given hope when you didn't have very much.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's the light at the end of the long, dark tunnel, yeah. You learn so much here about ways to manage it and with distraction, and I think that's one of the key things for me, distraction. And I learned that, yeah, I have to distract myself with games or talking to someone or doing something, going for a walk to get myself out of that mindset. It was, yeah, important for me to learn these things because otherwise I would still be trying to end my life now, I think.